Testing 1 2, testing 1 2, testing 1 2, testing 1 2. You know, we might not realize it now, but that's what's going to take place when the good Lord comes. He's going to cover the earth, and he's trying to do it with us now. There's just so much things going on in our world that detours from that. But let us lift our hands right now and give our Heavenly Father praise. Lord, we thank you, Almighty God, for all that you do. We thank you for your love and your concern and your compassion toward each and every one of us, O God. And I pray this day is the day that we can offer unto you, Lord, Lord, all our praise, all our adoration, all our love, all our concern, O God, and that you come and accept it, O Lord Jesus. Let your anointing flow today, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Let's sing unto the Lord.
Let's welcome Jesus into our prayers. We praise you, Jesus. You are welcome here.
You are welcome here.
Jesus, you are welcome.
Jesus, you are
Let's welcome
here
into our sanctuary.
Jesus, you are welcome here. 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 Said you draw near, let us tell you in our worship, you are welcome here. Jesus, you are welcome here. Jesus, you are welcome here. When your people praise you, said you draw near, let us tell you in our worship, you are welcome here. When your people come to
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King.
Hallelujah. We thirst for you, Jesus. We long to be in your presence, Lord. We thirst. Hallelujah.
I give you praise. is none like you.
There is none like you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
We praise you, Lord. We
hallelujah,
love you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, God. We praise you, Almighty Lord.
We bow.
We glorify you, O God.
In our spirit, dear God.
Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. This day, if you have a need and you'd like to make that known, we'd be honored to pray with you as they sing this next song. And thanks, O God, for all that you do. Lord, and I pray, God, that you're with our mighty nation, with this nation and all the things. God, there's so many things going on. We could spend hours and days in prayer, Lord, for the things that have been approaching and coming upon just America. But God, I know that you are in control. And I know that you know what you're doing and how you do things, O God. I pray for Sonoma, Lord, and that earthquake that happened this morning, O Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that you just be with all those people, O God.
And that you help them, O Lord Jesus, come to the understanding that you're there. When natural devastation takes place, O God, and natural things take place, O God, that you are there to comfort, to release, O God, and to give up wisdom and understanding. So I thank you in advance for what you're going to do in that situation, O God. And I pray, Lord, for the devastating situations throughout America, throughout the world. So many things that are happening in this world, O God, that are not of you, Lord. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you just pour your spirit down. Help these people. Help those people, O God, overseas. Help those Christians overseas that are devastated, that are going through so many struggles, O God. Be with them, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Protection upon their lives, I pray, in your mighty name. Help our military and our forces, O God, here and abroad, O Lord Jesus, to do what is right, God, in your sight. Continue to be with America. Continue to be with Reno and Sparks, O God, and bring a revival to take place into this city, O Lord Jesus, into the churches of this city, O God, into the churches of this city, O Lord. Bring revival, O God. Bring the power of the Holy Spirit to touch people's hearts, O God, because I know they are in need, O Lord, and they need you so desperately. Thank you, Lord, for what you do. And thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, worship team. Yes. A couple of quick announcements. We have a new store in town at the Legends. It's called Bonworth. Yes. That's how exciting that store is. It's a ladies' store, so all you men, think about it. Well, no, you can go there to buy for your ladies, but you get 10% off. The cards are back there. You fill it out, hand it to the there's only three ladies working there right now. Rhonda happens to be one. She is working today. She's the manager. Alexis, my daughter, works there, and one other lady. They need help. So if any of you ladies need work, they need help. Okay? Bonworth. Okay, it's at the Legends. It is a Christian store, by the way. So anyway, so just I told them that I would advertise this for them a little bit. It's brand new, just opened about a month ago. So they probably need your help with that. They also need your prayers because they have lots of problems. You know how when you open a new store, all the electronic problems you have. Well, they've had their score of electronic problems, computer problems. So anyway, so if nothing else, go there and say hello to Rhonda and Alexis. You know they're there quite a bit. Alexis actually starts school tomorrow, so she's all excited. You can just see it on her face, how excited she is. So anyway, so college life. Alicia starting up in January. She gave it a semester break, so she'll be starting up So she's going to start up in January. So just continue to pray. High school's done. Now it's whatever's going on after that. So we are putting together a musical. Here are some flyers. Okay, it's Joyland. The flyers are on the table back there. Please take them. The sign-ups are going to be September the 19th here. That's a Friday night, and it'll be from 5:30 to 8 o'clock for sign-ups. I did that long. Wow. So that'll be when the sign-ups are, and virtually this will be given out to about 3 to 5 schools here in town, so it'll be fine. Okay? So it'll be sign-ups for that, and we'll be doing this musical, and I think it's going to be fun. I think that my girls, you know, are going to take a lot of the production points of it. They haven't heard that, but they have been volunteered by their papa to do the production part of it, and I'm sure they're going to be happy about that. I can see it in their eyes. So Alicia might take up the producer of it. Since she's not working, I can put her to work now. So anyway, so that'll be something that we're going to do there. So next week, next Sunday, will be our fifth Sunday. It will be a Sunday for praise, testimony, worship. Please sign up in the back. There's a sign-up if you have a song, if you have a testimony. You know, whatever you would like to do, please get signed up in our booklet back there. Also, in that booklet there is, if you haven't put in your birth date or anything, there's a place for that back there. But that's what the book's for. I actually brought it this week. So get working on that. Coming up in September, we got a lot of things happening. The bus is almost ready to go. We're almost getting the signs are on the bus. I'm going to actually try to bring the bus next week so that we can show it out there. So I'm going to try to do that and bring it next week. And so we've got a lot of things going on that. We accumulated a leak, a fuel leak in it, so it's not running quite yet. But we'll figure out where the fuel leak is and get it fixed, okay? So we'll try to bring it next week for everybody to see. And, you know, that'll bring some encouragement on it and get things excited for September. A lot of things happening in September. Jody's working on our programs. We got a couple of financial programs and, you know, things like that that we're trying to prepare. So she's working on that. We'll probably want to try to get a New Beginnings class started or something. Lots of things are going to take place in September. We just got to get ourselves through this summertime. Summers are always fun. So summer's about over, fall is about ready to begin. And that's always a good time for people to get encouraged, come back into church and do things like that. So we're looking forward to that. Praise the Lord. I'd like for James to come forward, please. Take up our offering. Heavenly Father, as always, O Lord, we come to you and we thank you, God, for what you're doing. I thank you for our tithes and our offerings, and God, and how faithful we are in such a small church and being so faithful to you, Lord Jesus, and that we're always able to make all of our bills and keep up with everything. And I believe it's only because of you and because of faithful people that tithe unto you. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for those that are able to give, O God, in their tithes and in their offerings, O Lord. I pray a special financial blessing upon every life here, Lord, that you will give them the finances so that they are able to give to you. I pray this in your mighty name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Again, I just want to comment about Friday night's movie, Heaven is for Real. A lot of comments afterward, and all of the Teen Challenge boys were here that night, which I thought was exciting to see. I truly enjoyed, Ray, your testimony, and you know, you'll have to kind of give a little prelude of that even next week. I'd like to, that picture is, and that picture that was produced on that was actually from a 5 or 6 year old girl. Well, no, the girl that actually drew the picture, the artwork of that picture of Jesus, okay, she was 12, but she had an encounter with the Lord when she was 4 or 5 or something like that, and then she actually, from the memory, drew that picture of Jesus. And it's not like any picture in Bibles or whatever. It's a true rendering of our Heavenly Father, and it's beautiful rendering. And I could tell that Ray was moved on it because he made a comment, and he came up here and made a comment that night. So I'm excited that this coming next Sunday is going to be just a worship time and a testimony time, and I think that would be an actual really good time for Ray to give us a little more about what took place in his life. I think it's unbelievable, Ray. It really is. So You know, that lets me know more than anything, God has his hand on you. Praise the Lord. Well, children, please come forward. Oh, I forgot the song. I'm sorry. Children, please sit down. Cynthia, please come forward. It's been so long since we've had specials, you know, you automatically just forget.
Discouraged, why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven?
Children. Please come forward. Tom, you can turn me down just a little. Okay. Let's put your hands toward these young ones right here. Heavenly Father, I pray for these children. I pray, God, that you will overshadow them with your presence, your love, your understanding. God, that they will learn from you. They will obtain wisdom and knowledge of you, O God, through our director, Lord Jesus. Strengthen our director, O God, I pray. Have your way in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. You are dismissed. Let's go that way. Okay. I think the quad room is available now. More containment. I can contain them. Okay. For the last month and a half, Pastor Ray and myself have been talking on spiritual enlightenment, the Holy Spirit, the power of God through the Holy Spirit, and what God does through us through His Holy Spirit. And today I'd like to kind of conclude this series with two words: spiritual hunger, and where you are in God in that spiritual realm. You know? So, if you will turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, put your finger in your Bible, just to kind of hold it there, lift it up, and repeat after me. This is the living Word of God that I trust and obey. What it says is true, from Genesis to Revelations. Today my heart is receptive, and my spirit is alive, as I learn to submit my will to His. I am forever changed, a child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Sermon on the Mount, and one of the Beatitudes that are being said here, and Jesus made this statement to the people on that mountainside. And he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Woo! What a statement to be said then, and what a statement to be said now. Blessed are those. Are you part of those? Are you part of those? Well, then good. Blessed are those. Blessed are you. Look to your neighbor and say, he's talking about me. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness. In today's world and in today's culture, people don't do that. It's not a common place. It's not a common thing. In fact, they're discouraged on thirsting after righteousness. They're discouraged on doing anything that's biblical, godly, or religious. You're too much of a fanatic. Well, I'll tell you something. I'm ready to become a bold-faced fanatic for the Lord and stay that way, because I believe He is on His way and He is waiting to hear what you do, how you act, how you react to what is going on today. I don't want to ever lose my hunger for God. Because I want more of God. I want to somehow maintain a healthy desire to know God better and to be changed into His likeness and His image daily. Daily. Amen? Now, I suspect that same desire is in you today, or you wouldn't be here. Is that a good assumption? Because this world has a whole lot more to offer. They could put you out there and doing their thing, but you're here, and I believe you're here for a purpose. You're not here by happenstance. You're not here just because it's a great place to be, even though I know it is. You're here because the good Lord has brought you here to receive more encouragement than you would ever receive from the world, to receive a hunger in your spiritual life that you will not receive in the world. That's what you're here for. But the question I ask today, how do we nurture our spiritual hunger for God? How do we nurture this spiritual hunger that God is talking about in Matthew, and talks about throughout the Bible, throughout from the Old Testament to the New, God is talking about spiritual hunger. It's not just the New Testament, people. It's even in the Old Testament, He talked about having a spiritual hunger for Him. And every one of the Israel nation or the Israelites or anyone, it wasn't just the Israel nation, but anyone that had that hunger and thirst for Him, He was there. From Adam and Eve to right to the time of Revelation, He will be there when you hunger and thirst after Him. He said He would. He said He would. And I believe the Word of God is true. But how do we nurture this? Let me give you some examples on how you can nurture this. First of all, the first thing that we need to learn to do is we need to understand that we must taste and see. We must taste and see that God is good. David passionately says this in Psalms 34:8 when it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." See, he understood. David understood that he needed to taste and see God. He needed to understand and he needed to feel God's presence. In today's society, they don't want you to feel His presence. They think that that is just emotion and you're not supposed to live by emotion. But God gave us emotion. And I believe we need to live by emotion. We need to understand God's emotion in us. And go by that emotion. I'm so glad God gave me emotion. Can you imagine me just, "Hello, people. How are you today? So good to have you with us today." I have had college professors like that, and they could put you to sleep in 2 minutes. Alexis, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Because, Cynthia, I know you know what I'm talking about. There are professors out there that are good sleep mongers for you. Because you walk in there, you sit down ready to learn, and they open up with, "Good morning, everyone. I am glad you're here. Today we are going to learn." And you're wondering, when is that all going to take place? I believe if you're excited about something, it's good to show that. And if that goes right in from teaching, to right in from preaching, to right in from you're walking down the street and you have the presence of God all over you. When you got the presence of God all over you, sometimes it's just good to let the world know. Some of you are with me. David was saying that we need to learn to taste and see that the Lord is good. And you know, when we're growing up, we develop taste for certain foods. Before that happens, we have to try it out, though, don't we? How many... I'm so sorry. Let me do something real quick here, if I can figure out how to do it. I'm going to try to, but I can't get the thing to... It doesn't like me. I'm just going to power it off. I'm sorry. I'm not on call, but yesterday I ended up having to do a call. So I just don't want to do it again today, not right now at least. Now I've got to go back to my train of thought. Oh, yes, yes, talking about eating food. We acquire the taste for food, right? Well, I have a daughter that has never acquired the taste for tomatoes. No matter what I do with her, my older daughter will not eat tomatoes. I have tried to hide them and everything there is to hide them in, and she finds them and takes them out of them. What is so ironic about her, she loves ketchup. You know what I'm talking about? She loves ketchup. She loves salsa. Come on now. What's in salsa? Tomatoes. But you know what? If I put a tomato on the table and slice it up, I love tomatoes. I love slicing them up, putting a little salt on them, and I just tomatoes. But she sure can't get my daughter. She'll find them. I'll hide them in a sandwich. She'll hunt them out and find them, you know? But see, that's the point about acquiring a taste. And the good Lord understands that. And he says that we have to acquire the taste for the spiritual goods of God, right? You know, there was a day when I took a taste of God's goodness and have desired it ever since. There was a time when someone explained to me the grace of God and I experienced it and it caused me to want more each day of my life. And then I was introduced to the power of the Holy Spirit and I experienced it. I experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in my life one Sunday evening, and wow, what an experience. I knew then that I wanted more. I wanted all that God could possibly give me, and you know, and then more. When I tasted it, when I saw that it was good, I had the desire and I wanted more. That's what God wants from you. See, God wants you, said, he's not putting it out to you and said, you know, whether you like it or not, this is the way it is. According to David in Psalms, he says, no, I'm not. Now, God doesn't want it that way. God says, taste and see that his goodness is good. And when you taste it, and when you see for yourself, you'll be changed, and you'll want more and more and more of God. What's wrong with the society today? What's wrong with the world of today? We're not tasting. We're not seeing. We're not delving into it. We're not getting a grip of what the Holy Spirit will do in your life if you'll allow him. That was an amen. Number two, that we must, not only that we are to learn to taste and see God's presence and God and the Holy Spirit, I believe taste it, see it, you'll find out how good it really is. I'm telling you the truth, power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples, until they received it, until they taste, until they saw what God could do, they weren't as powerful of Christians until that time. When they taste and they saw that the presence of God and the power of God and the Holy Spirit was good and that it gave them the power to withstand so many things that they were going to go through, they knew that was for them. That's what we need today. Our world today is no different. Every one of you as Christians, you're going to go through things. Some of those things are not going to be easy. Whoever told you that, you know, that being a Christian was going to be just hunky-dory and honey and so good and wonderful. Yes, it is. And it's just like roses. Yes, it is. But roses have thorns. And you're going to go through some thorns in your life. And that's where you need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you through those. Without those, I'm not saying that you won't be a Christian. But I will tell you how much suffering and toil that you probably go through in your life not having the power of the Holy Spirit. When I'm discouraged and I'm down and out and I have nowhere else to go, you know what I know that I do have? I have the power of the Holy Spirit and his wonderful prayer language that can get me through things that I could never have got through my own. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the prayer language he gives to you. It's free. It's free. And it'll help you through all the devastating things that you're going to go through. All the things that this world will throw at you, the Holy Spirit helps you through them. When you cannot get through them on your own, and you're down and out, and I have been down and out. I have been hit to the floor and felt like I was 6 feet under. And I just said, Lord, I can't deal with this on my own. You know what he tells me? Well, then start praying to me in your wonderful language I've given you. I didn't even think of that. And I'll just open up and I'll just start praying. It is like heaven's doors opens up and all the problems for that moment go away. He helps you through things that in yourself you could never do. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, we need to acknowledge your need for spiritual nourishment. You need to acknowledge your need for spiritual nourishment. It is important to nourish your spirit as well as your body. Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy 8:3 and Matthew 4:4 in the Amplified, and it says, but he replied, and he's talking to the devil right now, by the way. He replied, it has been written, man shall not live and be upheld and be sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Jesus also understood the necessity of feeding upon what God says when he taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Do you understand what Jesus was doing right there? See, he had more in mind when he was talking about that substance right there to the devil, because the devil was trying to say, look, change this rocks into bread. Because I know you can do it. And yes, he could have at any point in time. But Jesus let that old slew foot know that you can't just live by bread alone. But you can live by the word that proceeded from the mouth of God. You can live by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And as you begin to look on that, God's going to take care of that. God will take care of the bread. God will take care of the nourishment. God will take care of the physical body. But you've got to take care of the spiritual body. Amen? And that's true. I believe that prayer includes petitions for our physical needs. Yes, it does. Amen? That's okay. It's okay if you have a physical need to pray to God, God help me through this physical need. God help me for food to put on my plate. Help me to feed my family. God help me. Do you know that he understands and provides? But there's so much more to that than the physical. God is telling us there's more to it than the physical. I believe that prayer needs not just to be limited to the physical, but we need to look to the Father daily and ask him to feed us spiritually as well. We need to be fed spiritually. Amen. We need to be fed spiritually. The point is this, we cannot simply ignore our spiritual needs and think that everything is going to be just fine. Because when you begin to ignore your spiritual needs, your spirit body is going to lack. And it's just like if you quit eating, what will take place? You won't survive very long, right? If you quit eating, you quit taking in spiritual food from the Lord, you're going to die spiritually, and you're going to lose what you have in God. God has given you salvation. God has given you so much. But if you don't nurture the spiritual side of your life, that spiritual side is going to die out just like the physical side would if you didn't eat food. So God is telling you right there. He says, no, you can't live by bread alone. But you can live by every word that comes out of the Lord. And I believe that. When you believe in the Word of God, you believe in the spiritual nourishment of the Word of God, you believe in that, God's going to take care of the physical. He said he would. He said he would. Amen? Did he say he would? Okay. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm not going to get hungry. Okay, good. God will take care of me. In fact, we must see spiritual nourishment as a higher priority than physical nourishment. Because if we can grab a hold of what God is saying spiritually to us, God has already commanded and already said He'll take care of the physical. The problem is we've got that reversed. We're trying to take care of the physical and we're taking on the spiritual as secondary. God doesn't want that. I tell you this morning, God is a jealous God. And being a jealous God, He's going to desire that you take hold of Him spiritually stronger than we even look at our physical needs. And if we can do that, He'll take care of the physical needs. Number three, that we need to intentionally eat healthy spiritual food. Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about what we take into our souls on a daily basis. Uh-oh, now you're going to meddle. No, I'm not. Maybe the Lord is, but I'm not. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow into completed salvation, since you have already tasted the goodness and kindness of the Lord. Has anybody here tasted and found the Lord to be gracious? You can raise your hand on that one. You can say amen to that one. I mean, come on, give the Lord some insight. Don't even think about me. Say, yeah, Lord! Amen! Pure milk of the Word will nourish our souls and give us spiritual health. Pure milk of the Word will nourish you and give you spiritual health. Psalms 119, 103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Ooh, this is Old Testament. This is King David. It's giving you an understanding of how sweet the Word of God is. How sweet it is to hear God speak to you. How sweet it is to take into that. And that is even better than the words that you could even possibly say. You know, in my own language, I get tongue-tied. None of you do, just this pastor. There are sometimes I just can't say the words I want to say. And sometimes the words come out a little bit odd. Did I really say that? You know, you always know when you said something and you hear what you said and you think, did I really say that? No, none of you have done that, right? Just this pastor. But I am so thankful for the spiritualness of God and that it gives us our prayer language and that when we get unattuned to what we could say physically, we go spiritually and we can start to pray in His language. And I'll guarantee you, there's nothing inadequate about His prayer language. Amen? That's why He gave it to us. That's why He gives it to us. If I have no taste for the Word of God, I need to find out why. I need to discover the honey that's there for me. I don't want to take for granted that God speaks to us today. I know that He has spoken to us in the Bible. But do you understand that God is not only speaking to us in the written Word, He is speaking through this sermon? Amen? At times He speaks through us while we're just talking to one another. Anybody encounter that? All of a sudden, an enlightenment from the Holy Spirit comes to you. Wow, we are actually saying that. This is God talking. God talks through you when you're talking to your friends. You know, talking to one another. God can do that. God does that. Hallelujah. He speaks through prophetic utterances that is quickened by the Holy Spirit and is meaningful to us today. Now, I got to say that one more time because this is something that this church has not truly experienced. And I believe God wants us to be in that realm. Prophetic utterances. Now, what do I mean by that? That means where God, when the power of God comes into a service so strong that God gives a prophetic utterances through a human being. Now, you notice I didn't say pastor or pastors. I said through a human being. When you become that open vessel, so in tuned with God that you feel his presence so much, could happen in a church, could happen in a church family, could happen outside, could happen in your car, whatever. And all of a sudden, the power of God overwhelms you, and God gives you a word, a prophetic word. Now, if it's a word in tongues, I believe God's going to give someone else an interpretation to that word. Is that okay to say that? But I also believe that God could give you a prophetic word for a congregation. He can give you a prophetic word for a gathering. Something that he is telling you direct to tell to the people. And it's by the Holy Spirit that this is done. Can it be done? Is it possible? Thank you. I was waiting for that one. Yes, it can. Don't ever feel, well, I just don't feel like I'm good enough. Because guess what? You're not. Come on. Admit it, first of all. Let's just admit it. We're not good enough. Right? Oh, my goodness. We are not worthy for God to come down and speak through us. You're not. Not one of you. Not me. I'm not worthy. But when God so chooses you, and he's only going to choose you when you hunger and thirst after his righteousness. He said, when you do that, he will fill you. Woo! He will fill you. What's happening today is we're not hungry anymore. We're hungry for the natural. We're hungry for mortal food. But the spiritual food, we're not hungry for. And if you're not hungry for it, you won't be fed. But when you get that overwhelming hunger for him, and you can't live a day without feeling his presence, and you can't live without feeling his utterances through your body, then in that time, he can use you. He can use you. My goodness, Pastor, you're really talking. I never heard this before. Well, I'm telling you, it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon. And God still wants to do it. God still wants to use you. You good for nothing vessel. God wants to use you. That's how much he loves you. His love for you is overwhelming. His love for you, he just wants to talk through you so much. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. That's how much God wants to use you. That Sermon on the Mount meant so much because it so much means so much to every one of you. It was not just for that day. It's for all of us today. Today, he's searching out to seek who he can use. You have to be that open vessel. You have to desire. You have to hunger. You have to thirst. See, and it requires something. See, I can craft a sermon about God. I can craft a sermon without God. Is that right? But I can't give you a sermon that's the Word of God without him speaking. I do believe there are places today that are experiencing a famine of the Word of God. There are sermons that have a hollow message. That is not what God is saying. It's just nice speech. It's human to human. Pep rally. It's encouraging. It's good. But it doesn't get to where God really wants you to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know what brings on a famine of hearing the Word of God? Well, I'm going to give you some examples. First of all, it's the lack of appreciating God's value. Lack of appreciating his real value in your life. When you get that, famine begins. Ignoring it when it comes. Famine begins. Disobedience to what God says, wow, begins famine. Begins famine. When this happened, here's what happens. God simply stops talking. God simply stops talking. He stops talking in the church. He stops talking in your spirit. And you feel deserted. You feel empty. Emptiness inside. That's where the famine begins in your life. And it happens to many, many Christians today. They lose the ignorance of God's word. The ignorance of His reality in their life. The ignorance of the Holy Spirit walking and working through them. Okay? They get too involved in what they're doing in today and leaving God out of the picture. God said to Joshua, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Woo! Do you understand that? Everything depends upon the continual engagement with the Word of God. Reading it, hearing it, and obeying it. When we place that kind of value on the Word, we read it with hunger. We understand that our future depends upon it. We understand that our well-being, both temporal and eternal, is rooted and grounded in our involvement with the Word of the Lord. We listen to a sermon in a different way. No longer are we just hearing a person's thoughts, but in the course of that sermon, we hear God saying something specifically to you. You ever had one of those? I've had people come up to me after that. "Pastor, you were talking directly to me." Honestly, I don't talk directly to anyone. I just preach what God gives me. If God is talking to you, He's doing the talking to you, directly to you, not me. So if you feel like that and you feel God is talking to you, then you say, "Okay, Lord, I'm listening." Don't ignore when He's talking to you. "Oh, Lord, I'm listening." Because then He'll really grab your attention. He'll really do something. Oh my goodness, He will do something so exciting, you won't be able to contain it. Woo! You might even shout. God forbid that. We hear His word somewhere in that message and we feed upon that word. Number 4. Avoid appetite killers. Oh, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I still got 15 minutes, so stay with me. Avoid appetite killers. This is the heart and soul of this message, because this is what happens when most Christians' spiritual appetites go away. We live in a society with lots of things to do. Many of them are good things. They're not evil in themselves, but they keep us too busy to nurture our relationship with God. There are many clubs we can belong to and events we can attend. If we are to protect our appetite for God, we may have to say no to some of those events, some of those things. I'm not here to tell you what those events or things are. But the Holy Spirit is. What is going on in your life that diminishes your appetite for God? Those are the things that you need to address. The Apostle John talks about the problem of filling ourselves with the world and then expecting good spiritual results. He says this in John, 1 John 2, 15 through 17. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it is also passing away. But he who does the will of God abides. Huh? Forever. 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 Now here's the problem. There is simply not enough room in our finite beings for us to fill ourselves with the love of the world and also fill ourselves with the love of the Father. Is that good to say? That's kind of what the scripture is telling you. You can't love the world and love the Father. You're going to love one and you're going to neglect the other. And the more you love the things of this world, and some of the things of this world aren't bad. It's just you get caught up in them. If you get caught up in them, guess who's going to be neglected? Spiritual things, godly things. See, God is saying, love him first. Give him the spiritual love that you want. He'll give you the other things in due time and good with good respect. But this is where your love is supposed to be, is on the Father first. If you can love the Father, everything else will take place. 5, get with people who will stir up your desire for God. This is the last one. Get with people who will stir up your desire in God. Okay? Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We are to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It's hard to spend 2 hours in a church service with people seeking God and spend 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 hours during the week with people who have no desire for God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to be with people that will help you stir up this gift within you. You can do it in that 2 hours, but it's only going to last a while. During the week, you need to find someone. You need to find fellowship with someone, with some ones. You need to do what you can do to try to help one another stir up that gift within you. Do you know every one of you have a gift? Well, maybe some of you don't. Every one of you have a gift, a very special gift that God has given you to use. Now, it's what you do with that gift makes the difference. You can put it under a bushel, you can hide it, you can try to save it, and you'll lose it. Or you can expand it, you can use it, you can get with other people, you can help them. They might need your help. You might be a blessing to them. You go over there expecting them to be a blessing to you. Guess what? Only God knows why we do the things we do. He sends us to people that need help. He sends us to people that maybe could help us. That's what God does. My goodness, he's so good. He knows exactly what he's doing. How many of you have ever been way down and out? Okay? My wife and I, we were way down and out. We were started Bible school and devastating things happened right after we started Bible school. The devil didn't want us in Bible school. Oh my goodness, he didn't want us in Bible school. We got so devastated, so earthly devastated, we hid from church. None of you guys did that. We hid from church. We hid from people. We didn't want to talk to anybody. I am so thankful some Christians from the Bible school came by We're just here to love you. My goodness, did I cry that day. But that was to let me know people do care. Do you know that you need to let other people know? Sometimes you might be the devastated one. Don't alienate yourself from other Christians that might call you and say, "Hi, don't give them this fake, I'm doing just fine. Yeah, I'm doing okay. Yeah, yeah, I'll see you later. Goodbye." None of you guys have ever done that, right? No. When they call and say, "Just calling to give you some love. Thank you. I need it. I need it." Let them love you. Let them do what it says to hear. Don't spend 2 hours a day and wait for next week to get fed again. Get fed during the week. Please, please. That's what's going to stir up your spiritual desire for God. To get a spiritual desire, you have the more you want, the more you hunger and thirst, the more you hunger and thirst, the more you will be filled. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's what God is saying. Nothing will stir up your appetite toward God like getting into His presence, meeting with Him, communing with Him. In His presence is fullness of joy. The world has nothing to compare with it, and not everyone will take this kind of spiritual look into the life. They won't take this. They won't take this journey. Not everyone will. But I guarantee you, if you take that spiritual journey, it will reward you above and beyond your imagination. Above and beyond anything that this physical body can give you when you begin to take that spiritual journey with the Lord. Psalms 24, 3 through 5 says, "You may ascend into the hill of the Lord. Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." I want to ascend into the heavens of heavens. Eagle Christian. Eagle, when he feels low and down and out, what's he do? He flies. He gets above all the clouds. He gets above all the problems. We need to be like that. We need to ascend unto the heights of the hill, heights of the mountain, to get into the mountain of God. Get into His presence. I want to receive a blessing. Amen? And sometimes if you really want that blessing, you got to really work for it. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes that blessing won't come easy. It'll take a little bit of work. God sometimes will try you out and say, "Do you really want it? Are you really hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Or are you just playing games?" Understand, He knows who's playing church and who means church. And He wants the real thing. If it's not the real thing, it says, what does it say that He'll do? He'll stop talking. I like the more perverse word. He will vomit you out of His mouth. I don't think we want to be part of that layer. I think we want to be the other. We want to be the other. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now I ask a few questions today. How strong is your spiritual appetite? I can't answer that. Only you can. If it's not what it should be, there are some things that you can do to correct that. Maintaining your spiritual appetite is important for all. Did you know that maintaining your spiritual appetite is not just important for you, but that is important for the whole church? Because the church suffers when there's a few in the church that have no desire. Is that right? The church suffers because It's hard for the church to get into a spiritual atmosphere if there's a few back there that are fighting it. It's hard for the preacher to preach the message that's powerful unto God when there's a few that are fighting it. So God works on that. Now, he works on all of us. But I really do believe he works even harder on those that are kind of rejecting it to help them, help them. See, he's a God of love. He is a God of love. And he wants you to seek after righteousness. He wants your thirst to be so strong. How many of you have gone, let's say, a whole day without drinking any water or any kind of liquid? Couldn't do it, could you? How long have you gone? A couple of hours. Krista, a couple of hours. By 2 hours, you're really thinking, man, I got to get something in me, right? Yes, you get famished. You start to dehydrate. And you start doing things that are not normal for this body to do. Okay? Now, let's take that spiritually. If you think what you've done, and you have to have water just to survive in this finite body that you have, take the spiritual aspect of that. You go 2 or 3 hours without, or a day or 2 days without spiritual water. When a person starts dehydrating, their body does some really, really weird things. I know. I dehydrated once when I was so busy with patients, I forgot to drink, and it went all day. And I had to see a patient in the hospital. I had to go to the hospital. I got there in the hospital getting ready to pray, and I just was like, oh my goodness, something's not right. I got dizzy. I got so dizzy I couldn't see. I had to go out into the ER, and I had to tell one of the ER guys, I said, you know, you got a seat. I got to sit down. He looked at me. I was white as a ghost. He said, no, you do sit down. Here, right now, sit. Found out that my blood pressure was almost zero, went down way low. I mean, really, he said, you're not good shape. So he started feeding me liquid, hydrating me back up again because I had just got so busy I forgot. Sometimes we do. Well, you know what? Now take a look at that spiritually. We can get so busy in this world. Not that it's wrong, but we can get so busy in this world doing things in this world, you know, that are not bad things or whatever, but we just get so busy. I get so busy as a pastor thinking, blah, 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 I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do the other, that I forget my spiritual walk with him. I forget to feed myself spiritually, and I could be like when I was dying there, when I was dehydrated. I can be dehydrated spiritually. I know what it feels like. I don't like it. And you know what? I don't want to be spiritually in that condition either. Don't allow yourself to be that way. Get spiritually fed. Get a hold of God. Spend time with God. Spend time with God. You know, have you tasted his goodness? I believe we all can raise our hand to that one. And I'm going to say, you're always invited to taste of the Lord, for he is good. Taste of the Lord, for he is good. Taste and see that the God is good. If you will do that, I challenge you this week. I challenge you this week, okay? This pastor challenges every one of you. We're not a lot of people here. Young people, listen to me, because I'm challenging you. I want you and you other younger people, I want all of you this week, take a hold of this challenge. Do something different. Okay? Do something spiritual. Ask God for something that it seems impossible to get. Ask him. Ask God for something spiritually. Now, I'm not talking about asking for financial blessing. He already knows about that. I'm not talking about asking him for anything that are physical. He already knows about that. Get deeper. Start reviewing your life. Get deeper in God and say, there's something out there spiritually I want to be hunger and I want to thirst after, Lord. Help me figure out what that is and help me, oh God, get a hold of it. Just like you drink water, Help me get that spiritual desire so strong this week. You give me something new. Give me something new. I challenge you. Ask God for that. Because God does say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So he's God challenges you. God's challenging you there in that scripture. Taste and see. Taste and see. I will reward you with your challenge. He will reward you with it. Wow. Now that should make you kind of a little excited about, okay, now I'm going to go home and I'm going to lay this out and I'm going to start doing it. I'm going to start asking the Lord. Knowing without a doubt that he will answer. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hunger and thirst after his righteousness. And you will be filled. I want testimonies next week of what God has done. Is that okay? Whether you do or not, doesn't make a difference. It's up to you. But I just feel that when God hits you, I tell you, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was so excited I told the world. I told everybody and anybody wanted to hear. I was there to tell them. Even if they didn't want to hear, I told them. You know, when you get excited for the Lord, you'll talk to strangers. You'll talk to anybody. Even if they don't want to listen to you, you'll talk to them. Oh my goodness, yeah, I want to talk to you. Well, I don't want to talk to you, but I want to talk to you. You'll get excited. God will give you something. Wow. He'll put it in you. This week, I challenge you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I lay in this challenge. And I pray, Lord, God, that you move mightily, Lord, upon each and every one here. I put together this challenge, O God, that the Holy Spirit will move into every individual here, young and old alike. I pray a mighty move of your Holy Spirit in their life. Let them call upon you with something that's, Lord, that's unusual. Something that's impossible for them. God, and you see it through. I pray this in your mighty name. I pray, God, for the Holy Spirit to come into their life stronger than you ever have. I pray for those that have never received the Holy Spirit, that this week, as they are traveling, as they're in their cars, as they're at home, and they begin to open up in prayer, God, that hunger and thirst will go into their life and that you will fill them. Fill them like you did in the upper room. Fill them with your presence, I pray. In your mighty name, take it, this message, Lord, and let it go out. Go out and let them be challenged to do what you want them to do. I pray in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We do have full teardown.